that they share and fellowship in, and that we should also share and fellowship in if we're in that same category. And these are the things that put them in an elite group. And if there's something I would love to be able to just drill into every believer, is the fact that God has a special plan specifically for your life, that you are special and you are as important as any person in the Bible. Because God is no respecter of persons. And some people might look at their life and say, well, my life didn't really count for much, or my life isn't really, I'm not like those people in the Bible. Well, as your faith is, so be it unto you. And so I thank God I had parents that drilled into me that you have a special purpose and a special call of God on your life. And you can't live your life just like anybody. God's got something special for you. And I would encourage you that God's got something special for you. You need to be writing a journal. You say, why? Because God's going to use you. God's doing great things in your life, and people are going to want to read about it. We used to do that when we were younger. You'd keep a diary or a journal and think, well, someday people are going to read this, or, you know, I'm going to write a book someday, or it's going to be exciting. Then as we get older, the devil comes and just says, hey, your life really isn't worth that much. Who cares about your life? Who's going to want to read what you had to do? I went to work today. I ate at Taco Bell. I came home. What's exciting about that? You know, so much of the Bible, that was in there. But yet there was that moment of greatness, or that calling of God that came forth. And it doesn't show that they went to Taco Bell, they went to work every day, and God, it just shows the highlights of their life. And a lot of times there might have been 40 or 50 years in between those highlights that's not written in there. So don't think that just because maybe you haven't done anything amazing or great in 40 years that you're nothing special. You are something special regardless of what you do. But I'm telling you, God's going to do great things for you. And in you. And you've got to believe that to have faith to receive it. Nate, you're more than just a drummer. You know what? That may be what you do. But God's got something awesomely huge for you. And your future. And you gotta have that sense of greatness on the inside of you. That you say, you know, there's something great about me. God's going to use me somehow. I'll never forget, I had this friend that I worked with at the Olive Garden. And again, most people think working at the Olive Garden is not that glamorous. Let me tell you, it wasn't. But God can take ordinary day-to-day things and somehow make them glamorous. Hey, look at Duck Dynasty. Come on. Ordinary people doing what they do ordinary every day, but yet all millions of people watch that show and just think they're awesome. And then yet I know 100 people like that. All over Texas. Come on. They have some here tonight. You could be the star of your own reality TV show. Well, I had this friend, and we called him Big Daddy. And Big Daddy had this guy. He was the chaplain for the U.S. Olympic team that would come into the Olive Garden and eat. And he came up to Big Daddy one day and said, God's going to use you in an awesome way today. Big Daddy just thought, whoa. Okay, something more than just being a host at the Olive Garden, getting people their seat. You think, what great could happen at the Olive Garden? Ooh, I'm expecting something great to happen today. But yet that very day, as he was over in one section of the restaurant, this lady came walking up to the bar area, and she was choking. And as she was choking literally to death, her husband was a little small guy, and she was a pretty large lady. And he could not do anything about it. But Big Daddy was a boxer. And he could wear three guys out before he would get tired boxing. And because of that, he was a pretty strong, stout guy. And he said, Dan, as he was telling me, Dan, you won't believe what God did today. I said, tell me, what did he do? He's telling me, man, he said this lady came in and she just passed out into his arms. He just walked in the room. She passes out, choking, can't breathe. He said, I grabbed her like this. And he said he tried to give her the Heimlich maneuver, you know. And so he pulls one time, nothing happened. So he said again, another time, nothing happened. She's still choking. She's out cold. And even to the point where things happen that happen whenever you die, certain bodily functions took place. And so he grabbed her one time. He said, Dan, I picked that lady up with every bit of strength I had. He said he picked her up off the ground one last time and just, whoa, like that, and a piece of chicken flew out of her mouth across the room. And she laid there unconscious. The paramedics finally got there, and they said, no doubt you saved this lady's life. Looking at her condition and what happened, no doubt you saved this lady's life. And so the whole restaurant, it was a testimony, because everybody knew me and Big Daddy were Christians. Hallelujah. And they knew that Olympic chaplain told him, you're going to do something great for God today. So expect that. You know, expect that in your life. Again, how many of the greatest miracles in the Bible happen while people are on their way to eat? How many of the greatest revelations was whenever Peter was on a roof about to take a nap because he was hungry and waiting for dinner? I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? You write your book. I was in my lazy boy about to watch the football game, and God just gave me an open vision. I saw heaven open, and the, you know, it's just awesome. God can do that. So again, we have a common bond. Number one, we have a common journey. Every one of us have a common journey. And God called Abraham in a vision of the stars. He called Sarah to have a son in her old age. He called Joseph in a dream, Moses from the burning bush. He called Joshua to fight. He called Hannah called to God for a son. Then God called Samuel in the night. He called David from the sheepfolds. He called Solomon to build a temple and a great wall. He later called Nehemiah to rebuild that wall. He called Esther to be queen and save her people. He called Elijah to a place called There, where he fed him with ravens. He called Elisha to pick up the mantle of Elijah. He called Daniel to favor with authority. He called Jonah to Nineveh. He called Habakkuk to write the vision and make it plain. He called Mary to be the mother of Jesus. He called Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father. He called Jesus to Nazareth and ultimately to the cross. He called John the Baptist to the wilderness. He called the 12 disciples to follow Jesus. He called Stephen home. He called Paul to Rome. He called Cornelius to send for Peter in Joppa. He called Peter to go to Cornelius in Caesarea. He called the churches to walk worthy of their calling. He called Timothy to hold on to his calling. And he called John at the island of Patmos on the Lord's day. Praise God. Just think about all the callings of God. Don't you think maybe God's called you to do something? We have a common journey. 2 Timothy 1:9 says that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You do have a holy calling on your life. Again, it's not just to play drums, although drums are great. And that's wonderful. It could be a holy thing. Praise God. But it's more than just whatever natural thing that you do in your life. You have a holy calling. You also have a natural calling. That's if you're born again, and that calling is a journey of faith. You got to believe it. Some people say, well, I never see that stuff. Well, you got to have faith for it. I've known people that say, man, I wish stuff like that would happen to me. You got to believe God for it. Ask Him for it. When was the last time you just asked God for it? Think about it. So many times we get stuck in a rut, and we never ask God for these things. I remember getting the revelation, I need to ask God for souls. And so I started praying, God, give me souls today. And people started coming to where I worked. At that time, I remember working at the Edge in Electronics. People would come into me and I would say, hey, how are you doing today? And they would say, man, my life is terrible. Let me tell you, when I was 17, I ran away from home, moved to Las Vegas, started going through the casinos. I've been there ever since and I'm miserable and I hate it. And I say, well, let me tell you the answer. I'm thinking, how's this happening? All I said was, hey, how are you doing today? Literally, that's all I said. And you know what I told that young man? I said, I've been praying that you would come. He said, let me tell you, I am on vacation. I work at a casino in Las Vegas and I had a vacation. I came to Texas because I wanted to see what it was like. He said, I went and got on an airplane, flew to DFW, landed, got off the plane, got in a taxi, went to the mall, walked in the mall, and my store was the first store he walked into just to see what Texas was like. On vacation. His name was Pai Sanavong. I'll never forget him. But I said, I've been praying you would come. It's no accident. You're not just on vacation. Hallelujah. This is the call of God on your life. So again, we got to ask God for that calling and for that common journey that we're all on. We also have a common jealous enemy. And this is something real important I feel like the Lord's wanting to speak to us tonight and get a hold of. Last, I believe it was Sunday night, I preached on honesty. Tell the truth. Let's be honest. And I feel like there's something in my spirit saying we need to talk about jealousy also. Because we have a common jealous enemy. One of the greatest enemies to the call of God on your life is jealousy. Jealousy separates the best of friends and it brings out the worst in enemies. When pride and selfishness get together, they have a baby called jealousy. I'm telling you, that's how God gave it to me. I'll say that again. When pride and selfishness get together, they have a baby called jealousy. Jealousy can reproduce all by itself. And its children are lying, stealing, hatred, strife, gossip, and murder. That's what's born of jealousy. Have you ever had to deal with jealousy maybe in your own heart? I know I have. Again, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think about times, I have to admit, I don't think I've ever been jealous not very often. But one time in particular, sixth grade, I was jealous of Chad Osborne. We had this thing where if you made 100 on a test, you got a little gumball, a furry gumball thing, and you put it up on your gumball machine up on the wall. And I had all my gumballs up in this little machine and my name on my machine there. And I'll never forget that sense of pride. That I had more gumballs than anybody else in the school, actually, because it was a private school, and we had all our gumballs, and I had more than anybody else until Chad Osborne. And I don't know how he had to have been cheating. Had to have been cheating. He was a cheater. That's what it was. See, that's what jealousy will do. He's a cheater. That Chad Osborne, he must be. But he had more hundreds than me. I mean, like twice as much. It was like insane. This kid popped out nothing but hundreds on every test. I thought, he was a new kid. How does this happen? And I'll never forget that feeling of jealousy on the inside. I hate it to this day. And so I never liked Chad Osborne. I would make fun of the way he talked. He used to say, bones. I have to be careful. I don't want to break my bones. And I used to make fun of him. And I look, why did I make fun of him? Because it was jealousy. Why did I not like that kid? Do you know what was so cool? A few years ago, we were actually in Granbury playing. PS40 was playing with Dwight Thompson at a tent revival. Dwight called and said, hey, can you come out and lead worship for me? We said, yeah, we'd love to. We went out there. It was a big tent meeting. And guess who was the sound engineer at that tent meeting? I hadn't seen him since sixth grade. It was Chad Osborne. Oh my gosh, man, how are you doing? It was awesome. We were like best friends. I mean, we just picked up right where we left off. I didn't care about the hundreds anymore that he used to make, and he was smarter than me. And all that pride had left my life, thank God. And I thought, that's so dumb that I let something like that stand in between what could have been a great friendship. Again, jealousy separates the best of friends. And it brings out the worst in enemies. But we do have a common jealous enemy. Again, it leads to lying, stealing, hatred, strife, gossip, and murder. Jealousy is all through the Bible since the beginning. Just as all those people had great calls on their life, they also had jealous enemies. Jealousy birthed from pride caused Lucifer to fall from heaven. Remember that. He wanted God's job. Jealousy made Eve eat the forbidden fruit, thinking that God was holding out on her. Jealousy caused Cain to kill Abel because God accepted Abel's sacrifices and not his. Ishmael hated Isaac because of jealousy. Esau tried to kill Jacob because of jealousy, his own brother. Rachel and Leah fought over Jacob because of jealousy. Man, we got 12 tribes because of that. It's amazing. What Satan meant for evil, God used for good, I guess. Joseph's brothers wanted to kill Joseph because of jealousy. Remember, they sold him instead, and what did they do? They lied about it. I'm telling you, jealousy produced lies, murder, all kinds of hatred. Miriam was jealous of her brother Moses' authority and spoke against Moses. Moses interceded for her, praise God, and she got right and got back in and everything was good. David's brothers were hard on him because of jealousy. They were hard on their little brother, but not as hard as Saul was because of jealousy. He tried to kill him, tried to throw a spear at him and kill him, and then chased him all over the world because of jealousy. Ahab and Jezebel killed Naboth because they were jealous of his vineyard, and then they stole it. That's what jealousy will do. The sons of the prophets were jealous of Elisha's friendship with Elijah. The presidents and princes were jealous of Daniel and tried to get him thrown in a lion's den, and it ended up backfiring on him, and they got thrown in there. That's what jealousy will get you. The scribes and the Pharisees were jealous of Jesus. Remember, that's what put Jesus on the cross, was that jealousy of man. They hated it when the people started following him. And even the disciples had to deal with that a little bit. The disciples of John, the Baptist, because they were saying, hey, more people are following Jesus than are following you, John. And John said, hey, I ain't jealous. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lamb. Follow him. Man, that's where we need to live. To where we say, hey, praise God, I'm not jealous. I'm just glad that God's will is being done. Amen? Is it any wonder that Satan is jealous of your calling? Some people just wonder, what did I do? Why does Satan hate me so much? He's jealous of your calling. And he'll do everything he can do to rob you of that calling and of that greatness in your life. Revelation 12:9 says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now's come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's why he accuses you. Have you ever been accused? Chad Osborne must be cheating. That's jealousy talking. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so thank God we have a high priest who is in heaven who never ceases, the Bible says, to make intercession. So as there's never ceasing of the accusation of the devil, there's never ceasing of the intercession of Jesus. Hallelujah, on your behalf. Praise God. But anyway, that kind of jealousy just brings division. It doesn't bring unity. And so we want to celebrate with those who are doing well. And if there's something great going on, don't be jealous of people, but celebrate with them. Be excited. Be happy for them. And God knows your heart. If there's any jealous part in you, you deal with that. And let the Lord take that out. He can. Praise God. So there's a common journey, common jealous enemy. Everybody has a common giant in their life. Every great man or woman of God will face a giant. Sarah having a baby at her age was huge. That's huge. Joseph, almost killed by his brothers and then almost by Potiphar. Moses was almost killed 3 times. Think about when he was a baby, then by Pharaoh. Then he was almost stoned to death by his own people at Meribah. Joseph stormed the promised land and faced a multitude of giants. I'm sorry, Joshua, did I say that? Joshua. David had the lion, the bear, and then an actual giant, Goliath. But that really, if you think about it, wasn't his biggest giant. Goliath was simple. The pride and the lust in his heart was harder for him to overcome than even Goliath was. So there are things in our lives that may be giants that we have to overcome, but we can overcome those things. Saul, of course, multiple times tried to kill him. Even his own men talked about stoning him. It's a definition between a rock and a hard place when your own friends are trying to stone you to death. At that point, literally every person on the planet wanted to kill him. And he had to encourage himself in the Lord at Ziklag because he was the only one that didn't want to kill him. Hallelujah. I'm sure Pastor Bob has faced that a time or two. As a minister, as a pastor of 50 years of pastoring the same church where maybe everybody wasn't too thrilled with you as a leader. It happens sometimes. But give the guy a break. Wouldn't that be awesome to be the one to give David a break and say, "Hey, Dave, man, you've had a hard day. Let me give you a pat. Let me take your shoes off, man. Sit down. It's not your fault. All this has happened. Hey, David, we're still with you. Man, I would have loved to have been that guy. Probably been friends with David for life. Have somebody who believed in you when nobody else did. But there will come a time in your life when nobody believes in you but you and God. And at that time, you realize, as Pastor Bob has said before, and that's how I know he's been there, whenever God is all you have left, you find out that really God is all you need. Not that we don't need people, but even if you don't have people, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you if your anchor is Jesus, if your hope is set in God. So, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Psalms 34:19 says, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Revelations 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So don't be afraid of giants. The only way you can be afraid of death is if you love your life too much. Some of us just love our lives too much. I've known people, as a kid, they said, "I don't want Jesus to come back because I'm not married yet. And I want to get married." And to me, I just say, "Come on, you're crazy. Do you realize how awesome heaven is? Come on. You don't want to go to heaven because you want to get married here on earth?" Well, they've obviously never been married. And I love my wife. I would say, and my wife knows I do, we have a great relationship. We have a great relationship. But sometimes people get this pie in the sky mentality that marriage is like the most, like it's like heaven. And it is. It can be like heaven on earth, but it's nothing compared to heaven. Nothing. And I would have to say, I probably have, and I can't say I have the best marriage because I know you'd probably think the same thing, but I have one of the best marriages I could ever imagine. And yet, it's nothing compared to heaven. Right. And sometimes, I don't know, it might kind of frustrate my wife to think, "Man, babe, you know, don't be so heavenly minded. Or don't want heaven so bad that you forget we have a family here on earth." But I want to go, I really do. Just like Paul said, man, to die is gain. Man, I don't care about getting a driver's license. I have to talk to young people all the time. I've known kids too. Man, I want to drive before Jesus comes back. I'm kind of hoping he doesn't, because I want to get my license. Again, obviously, you haven't driven enough yet. I'm telling you. Kids are wanting their license so bad, then whenever you got to drive every day, then you're not wanting to drive. People that are single want to be married, and people married want to be single. Why is that? So many people think, well, the grass is greener on the other side. Oh, if I could just get married. Hey, you just trust the Lord. God will work that out in His timing. And don't be in a hurry. Don't be in so much of a hurry. But also, don't hold on to your life so tightly that you wouldn't be willing to let it go for the Lord. You know, even with your kids. As much as I love my children, they're not more important to me than Jesus. And if I were to have my children or God, I'm going to take God. Now, I know with God, He gives me all things richly to enjoy. So I'm not worried about it. I trust Him with my children. And see, when you're not afraid to die, then you can really live. And the devil will threaten you. I'm going to kill you. And you say, praise God. Come on, bring it on. It'll be awesome. Well, what does he do with that? You know, I told him I would kill him. It didn't scare him. He said, please do. I'm ready. But they loved not their lives even unto death. And that's why they were able to stand there in the book of Revelation. And this is prophetic, where it talks about the saints that are to come that will be martyred for their faith. And it could even come in our generation, in our lifetime, to even us in this room. I'm not prophesying it, but the Bible prophesied it would happen. That there would be a group of people who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. That's a great place to be. And the devil is scared out of his little red boots, if he wore them, of a group of believers that love not their life even unto death, because they can't be stopped. And nothing he threatens them with will hinder them or cause them to give up or cause them to quit. I'm telling you, we have a common jealous enemy, but praise God, we have a common Jesus. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody can come against us. And that's something that we have in common. We have what you call a common jargon. Somebody said, a jargon is a common language. It's a language that we have. It's called a heavenly language that we can speak in. And as we speak in that heavenly language, it's a common bond that we have. Some people call it speaking in tongues. But it's a tongue, it's a language of heaven that we have in common. And not only do I have that in common with you, I have that in common with believers all over the world. And it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that quickens and makes alive my mortal body. It's that same Spirit. And you can go anywhere in the world. Joe and Becky, I know y'all have seen this so many times because y'all have traveled literally all over the world. Is the Spirit of God the same everywhere you go in the world? Is it amazing how you can be in a service and maybe people are all praying or singing in the Holy Ghost and you wouldn't know what country you were in if you closed your eyes? Isn't that amazing? They're saying that's exactly right. Because we have the same Spirit. It's the sound of heaven. And again, God is no respecter of persons. And it'll work anywhere. And some people say, well, you don't know my situation. You don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I've had to deal with. Did any one of those people in the Bible use their situation as an excuse to fail? No. Those great men and women of God, if anything, used what Satan meant for evil. God turned it around for their good. And I'm telling you, the storms of adversity will only blow you in the direction that your sails are already set. And some people say, well, this happened in my life and it just blew me away from God. What? Were your sails set toward God? Well, then it should have blown you more toward God. Hallelujah. It should have only driven you closer to God and the things of God. It's like I knew of the story of this man who had two sons. And the man was an alcoholic, homeless man. Had two sons. One of his sons became an alcoholic, homeless man. The other man became a well-known, famous doctor, well off. Someone asked the one son, what happened to you? Why are you on the street homeless? He said, well, look at my dad. Homeless, alcoholic. They asked the doctor, how did you become so famous and rich as a doctor? He said, well, look at my dad. Homeless, alcoholic. What one used as an excuse for failure, the other used as an excuse for success. So again, you make the choice. I can't help what happened to you. But you can help what you become as a result of it. Not by your own willpower. But I'm telling you, God's in the business of taking what Satan means for evil and using it for good. That's what God does best. In fact, many times, that's how God chooses to work. I can't explain it. I don't understand that. That why so many times adversity seems to be the prerequisite to greatness. Maybe you can explain that to me after service. Some of you might have more revelation on that. But if something comes in your life that's an attack of the devil or something totally just of the devil, praise God. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy. God's setting you up for a blessing. God's saying, oh yeah, devil, that ain't going to work. I'm just going to cause this to advance them. I'm just going to cause this to turn out for their blessing. And God's going to do great things for you. Hallelujah. Can we have the band go on up there? I am amazed at what God can do. I'm amazed at how deep and how wide is His love for us. Even if you blew it, even if you intentionally blew it, God can still turn that around for your good. And it's not over. That's a lie from the devil. If the devil ever says, well, it's over for you. No. Let me tell you this. There may be somebody here, and I don't know, or maybe somebody watching, where you may be contemplated suicide, or the devil's tried to tell you it's over. Your life is over. Let me tell you, I don't want to be in the common ground or have common ground with people like Judas, people like Saul, people like Samson who killed themselves. I want to be in the Hebrews Hall of Fame. People that didn't quit. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants to tell you it's over for you. You might as well just kill yourself. You might as well end it because you can forget that. You blew it too much. Come on, that's ridiculous. That's a lie. That to me sounds like a jealous lie. But I'm telling you, the greatest days for you are yet to come. Gerard, how old are you? You don't want me to say. I'll tell you this, I'll give you a little hint. He's the same age as Smith Wigglesworth, right? When he started his ministry. And look what God did through him in those years. It's not too late for you. I don't care. If you've got one breath left, praise God with it and glorify God. He can do a miracle through that. You kidding? Elisha's bones still had enough anointing in. He was doing miracles even after he was dead. Woo. I wish I could make movies. I tell you, I'd love to see that played out in real life where they throw a dead body in a grave and it just comes to life as the anointing comes out of that bones and brings that person back to life. And they say, whoa, how'd that happen? Boy, wouldn't that be an ultimate comeback story? You think the guy's dead, but then they throw him on the bones of an old prophet and he comes back to life and beats the bad guys. Maybe his love of his life was weeping because he was dead, and yet he was thrown on those bones of that man of God and the anointing came back and he says, I'm alive, honey. How did this happen? No explanation, but God. So God can bring life to a dead situation. Hallelujah. Come here. Sing that verse you sing, or you sing over me. Is that how it goes? I want to lay hands on you. Come here. Just stand right here.
First verse.
Oh, you dance.
You dance.
This is for you.
So for me. While I am on the way, you see. And I love to hear the sound.
Now listen, I don't know you real well. I know you were here for a time and then you were gone for a time. I don't know anything about you during that time or anything. But I know that it doesn't matter. And that God, you don't lose ground with God. And that God, even then, God loves you. And God was watching you. And God loves you and He's watching you now. And He sings over you while you're unaware, maybe even unaware, not even knowing God was watching you riding your bike down the road. And God says, there goes my boy. Hallelujah. There goes my boy. I'm going to do great things in that man. I'm going to do great things in his life. While you're unaware, you don't even know it. And yet God's working for you. He's doing things for you. He's dancing over you. Hallelujah. He's singing over you. Thank you, Jesus. Betsy, come here. Betsy, Ackley, Stanton, come here.
How you love me.
Thank you, Lord. There's a verse for you in that song, too. You know it? What's the song you paint the morning sky? Sing that one. This one's for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hand.
Just sing that again.
You paint the morning sky, miracles, with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hand. Lord,
Kevin, come here.
find. Lord, I'm amazed by.
Hallelujah. That part that says how deep, how wide, sing that part. This is for you. Hallelujah.
How deep, how wide, how great is your love for me.
Sing it again. How deep, how wide. Revival's coming into your home and in you personally. Hallelujah. And it's going to affect everything. It's going to rock your world. You thought what the devil did rocked your world. Wait till you see what God does as a result. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I feel like Benny Hinn. I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Wait till you see how God brings the far has he removed our transgressions from us, because that's how wide his love is. It's immeasurable. Hallelujah. And God is bringing restoration in your family. He's bringing revival in your family. And he remembers your sin no more. Don't you remember it anymore either. Don't remember transgressions against anyone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God he has not imputed our sins toward us, but has imputed righteousness to us. God's given us righteousness. Hallelujah. And God has granted you righteousness. And with the same way as God has loved you, so you love your family. Hallelujah. We can't hold anything against anybody. We just can't do it. Come here, you two sisters. Come here. To say anything, because the Lord speaks to y'all. I'm telling you, y'all are a special couple of sisters. And God wants you to flow together. He wants you to work together. He wants to do great things in you, just like James and John. Just like Peter and Andrew. Mary and Martha. I'm not going to say who's Mary or who's Martha, but... But you know, God wants to do those things. And I'm telling you, don't ever let anything come between y'all. It's like Pastor Bob has said before, there's a switch that says let or let not. And there will come times whenever the devil just try to bring things in between you. Just don't let it. Just have an understanding. We don't let that stuff happen. No, we just don't do it. Because, you know, God's using you guys in a supernatural way. And again, you're special. There's something special about your bond. That sisterhood that y'all have. God, Jesus chose certain people, you think about it, to be there at his resurrection. And they were the original Spice Girls. They came with spices. Hallelujah. And they came to anoint. But you know what? God used that. God called those families together. And I'm telling you, God's calling you as a family. And I know you're married. And I know you have your own family. But don't forget your little sister, too. Because God's going to use y'all in neat ways, too. That is awesome. He already has. I mean, huge. But it's going to continue. Y'all just lift your hands. I just believe the anointing of the Lord is just coming in a new way. Hallelujah. And y'all are going to have each other's backs in times whenever you need it. Hallelujah. See, y'all pray for each other. Oh, Ramangasi. Believe nothing but the best of each other. Always. And rejoice when another one gets blessed and another one gets something or is highlighted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Celebrate with each other. Thank you, Jesus. And help each other. Promote each other. I just hear the Lord say, promote each other. As one hand washes the other, God's going to use both of you to help each other. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can receive that for yourself too. Amen. And our marriages, again, it can be heaven on earth. Come here, babe. It can be heaven on earth if you speak nothing but good toward the other and love the other and say, you know what, I'm going to do nothing but speak good about you. And I'm going to promote you. And I love you. I want to see you succeed. Now imagine if she felt the same way toward me. What would happen? Wow. We'd both succeed, wouldn't we? Hallelujah. But give no place to the devil in your home, in your family. Love you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's awesome, Joe and Becky, how y'all work together. And, you know, I know it hadn't always been easy, and there have been times probably you wanted to...
I let her win.
Yeah, yeah. You do. But, you know, y'all are an awesome team.
Yeah.
Amen. and God uses y'all in so many awesome ways. It's just, it's amazing. I know heaven will only tell all the fruits you guys have all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's getting sweeter and sweeter, I can tell. Like that song, gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between. You gonna sing it?
I don't, but you can.
I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. It goes, I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. Falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Nights get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I haven't sung that song in years when I was a little kid. But you know, that's the same heart that we should have for Jesus our whole life. Life truly does get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And if you find your life not getting sweeter and sweeter, there's something wrong. And you need to just press and call out to God. Again, remember, lay aside any weight that might be hindering you. Some things may not be a sin. It says, lay aside the sins and the weights that so easily besets us. Some things are sins and some things are just weights. Not necessarily anything wrong with it, but it's a weight. And you might need to lay that aside. Press into God. I'm excited about the unity that we have here as a church. I'm telling you, I've sensed the spirit of revival stirring. And there's some major players here in this room tonight. You're a major player in what God's doing in revival and in the last days. So keep hungry for God. Give no place to the devil. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost all you can, and that'll bind us together. Praise God. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit that's here. God, I pray a blessing over every person, God, as they go. Lord, tomorrow, I thank you, God, if they're facing any jealous enemies. Lord, I thank you that the sweetness of the Holy Ghost is upon them. And Lord, that it will just diffuse any attack of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that by your spirit, life is getting sweeter and sweeter for every person here. Hallelujah. Y'all are dismissed. Have a great week. We'll see you soul winning tomorrow, 2 o'clock. I'll be going out also Friday at 2, Saturday at 10.